Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
They have chosen something to cater to the homosexual community, to cater to Hollywood, to cater to the big money people. They have chosen that course and just ignored the people that put the president where he is. The president is in the White House because of the civil rights movement, and I was a leader in that movement. And I didn't march 1 inch, 1 foot, 1 yard for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman. So the president has forgotten the price that was paid, where people died, where they suffered, where they gave their blood to have equal rights in the United States. And for the homosexual community and for the president to bow to the money, as Judas did with Jesus Christ, is a disgrace, and we're ashamed.
One minute after the hour right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am Reese on the radio on this August the 15th, 2012. Some news, we got audio clips, we've got everything. I was just watching a final report on Fox News about a poor village in Syria that just got bombed. It actually put me in a very, very sad, sad place in my mind. I feel horrible for what's happening to those people out there. And we're not just talking about the rebel fighters, but we're definitely talking about the innocents that's being attacked by the Syrian government. Something's got to be done. What's going to be done, no one knows. Whether or not this president or this administration is going to do anything about it, I sincerely doubt.
Yes, we do.
It.
They already said that they're not.
Well, yeah. But something's got to be done. The numbers pouring in are looking at like 21,000 people, according to the report. Shepard Smith just said that, saying that those numbers cannot be confirmed, but I still think that it's horrible. Anyway, on to some other stuff. Mike in Florida just sent me a tweet on a story that I covered back in 2008. A guy by the name of Joe Horn, who I know intimately. I know this story intimately. He shot two intruders who were breaking into his neighbor's home. He witnessed them, called the police, told them he was getting out his shotgun. The police dispatcher begged him, if not warned him, please don't go out there, sir. Don't go out there. He said, I'm going out there. And you can hear on the audio, he cocks that rifle. You hear it on the phone. When I originally did the story, you hear everything happening on his cell phone. Now, this is 2008. And, you know, the iPhone was out. What I found amazing was this
was
guy.
Was the iPhone out in 2008?
Yeah, sure was.
Wow.
So and whatever phone that he was using, I thought it was an iPhone, but whatever it was, the clarity on this phone, you could hear him not only cock the gun, you know, the rifle, you could hear that clearly. But what was even more amazing, he leaves the gun inside of his house, goes outside and confronts the burglars, and shoots both of them. As one of them walked across his yard, and another one running down the street, and you hear him blast both of them, blah blah.
We talked about this. We talked about yes,
Joe
we did.
Horn?
We did. He shot him on their lawn. Yes, we did. We talked about this when we first started.
Really?
Yes.
Oh well, this happened back
in
2000.
Massachusetts, right?
No. This is in Texas.
JC, didn't we talk about this?
No, trust me, I have the story right here. I just played it. I know it's not. In fact, here's a replay of it. I'll replay it for you.
In a heated protest over a Pasadena man who shot and killed two men burglarizing a neighbor's home last month. Joe Horn was inside his home and was told repeatedly by a 911 operator to stay inside. Instead, he went outside and shot Miguel Antonio de Jesus and Diego Ortiz. Both died at the scene.
Well, here it goes, buddy. You hear the shotgun clicking, and I'm going.
Don't go outside.
No, you're dead.
26's Chris Stipes was at Horn's home today, where a planned demonstration quickly turned into chaos. Chris, tell us what happened.
Before the original...
Now, hold on. Before I finish playing it, is the reason why he sent the audio to me, Mike, in Florida, was because the new Black Panther Party went out there to protest Joe Horn.
In 2008?
This is in 2008. Now, here's what happened during that protest.
The protest was organized by community activist Quan LX. He thinks Horn should be charged with a crime, but once people in Pasadena who support Horn got wind of those plans, they showed up in full force for a protest of their own. Hundreds lined Timberline Street in Pasadena.
It's our Second Amendment rights, keep and bear arms.
Waiting in front of Joe Horn's home with signs of support.
Somebody lunges at me that's just broke into my neighbor's house, and they're in my yard, and they lunge at me. They're not going to live.
They waited for the arrival of Quan LX, who says Horn should be charged in these shootings.
He was perfectly within his right to protect himself, his neighbor, and it's just wrong what Quanell's trying to start.
Leading a small entourage, his entrance was met with mayhem. Surrounded by dozens in every direction, everywhere he moved, motorcycles blaring, people pushing and screaming, and chanting, Quan LX left.
There was nothing he had to say. We wanted to hear nothing. He's trying to make this into a race issue. It's not. It's a criminal issue.
20 minutes later, he was back, marching with more people.
Yeah, he gunned these men down in cold-blooded murder.
Including family and friends of the two men shot by Horn, who say all they want is justice.
We know that they were doing wrong. They should have went to jail. But nobody deserves to be shot down in here with no questions asked and nothing to defend themselves. Everybody has the right to go through the justice system. He was nobody to take that away from them.
We're not here because of race. We're here because we believe a man took the law into his own hands, became judge, jury, and executioner. That's what we're up against.
Now, Texas law does state deadly force can be used to protect your property if you feel your life is threatened. In some cases, it extends to a neighbor's home as well. A grand jury is expected to decide if any charges will be filed against Horn. For a look at the raw video from today's clash of the protesters, go to our website, myfoxhouston.com. Chris Stipes, Fox 26 News.
Okay, so please tell me of a follow-up on this.
Well, no, the follow-up is, of course, Joe Horn was never, ever charged.
He wasn't charged?
Of course not.
What? New Black Panther Party, where you at?
But the bottom line is that this is another disgraceful display by the New Black Panther Party, where they showed up, they got punked, and, you know, they got nothing. They tried to start, this is in essence.
The whiteys got on your ass.
They got all
Whoa.
Up in, I thought we were talking about, see, the reason why I brought this up is because the New Black Panther Party, there's an audio out on their show, because they're on Blog Talk Radio as well. But now they're talking about, see, this is the part that makes me laugh. The New Black Panther parties are talking about killing white people, but even going so far as killing their babies. Now, when I say killing their babies, listen to what I'm saying. Because I'm thinking about playing the audio.
Oh, but, you're going to play it.
All right. Well, the one guy, and this is the guy that's in that videotape in the Philadelphia voting booth. The voting line, we talked about it yesterday, at the polling place, I should say. This guy is talking about how we need to go into the hospital and blow up the maternity ward and kill every white baby that's in there to destroy all whites and future generations of them.
Oh, so this is what you do. You go and try to say something to the whiteys, the crackatastic reunion that happened in Texas. You go there and it's failed because there's too many white people. They outnumbered you. Then you take a few years, you start thinking about things, and you're talking about you're going to go kill white babies because that's all you can do is kill white babies. You can't go out and go up against white adults that have guns and weapons. Because your ass is going to get killed. So go into any hospital that you want to and try to blow up a bunch of white babies. Even if you are successful, your ass will be taken down. This is not about black and white. If that's what you want to make it about, you can make it about that. But bottom line is, Your ass is outnumbered. The population of white people outnumbers you.
Well, let's not make this a whole white.
Well, but that's what they're making it. So why not? Let's.
Understand that we don't have to sink to their levels. But since we're talking about being
inflammatory,
since we're talking about being inflammatory, because
you can't get hog riding, rednecks.
Look,
now you want to kill that baby.
Since we're talking about being inflammatory, let's really really get inflammatory. No, but let's do this in an educated way.
I'm doing it in an educated way.
Hold on. I'm not suggesting that. Just follow my lead, okay? All right. Listen, Black Panthers, new Black Panther Party, let me make a suggestion to you. I'm going to make the perfect suggestion to the new Black Panther Party. If you really, really want to invoke change, if you really, really want to rally the people, I want you to go out there with your guns blazing, all right? Go out there with your pistols and your guns, you know, your little Facebook pages holding up your 357 Magnums. Yes, they do. I'll show you the pictures. Knock it off with the postings of the photos of how tough you are. Let's really keep it real, new Black Panther Party. Let's see what you're really about. I need you to go out there and get gunned down. You understand what it is that I'm telling you? Get out there and get gunned down. And then see how people react to your senseless murder. This is what I want you to hear from Reese on the radio. Let's keep it real in the field, as they say. Get your guns off the pictures. Put down the digital cameras. Put down the phones and talking about the realness on Blog Talk Radio. Get out there with your guns strapped, with your waist strapped with guns, and get out there and get gunned down. I need to see your blood on the streets so that you can really, really prove that the quote-unquote universal African-American community is going to come to your aid, or they're going to laugh their asses off at your senseless murder. This is what I need broken down.
Yeah, because Black people are not going to be supporting your dumb
asses
going and killing people because of the color of their skin. Black people ain't down with that.
They're not. They will not. There will be a couple of morons out there that will probably follow you, and I commend them for being that stupid. But let's really, really talk about the real, okay? Now, you'll go out there and you'll pretend to be civilly disobedient. You'll go out there and you'll do your marches and you'll stand there and talk about, I want to kill Whitey. No, nobody wants to hear what you want to do. Okay?
Don't talk about it. Be about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Bad boys move in silence. Nobody telegraphs what it is that they want to do to the enemy. Nobody sends a memo. No one sends a fax. No one sends emails and post videos. No one does that. Not real revolutionaries. Real revolutionaries go out there and get it done. But you're never going to get it done because you're pussies. And it's that simple. Okay? Seriously. Rhetoric means nothing. You're not going out there and you got no political action. You got no political power. You just got rhetoric. Okay? Now, I've seen, you know, old Mabel, your chief of staff, go from violent, I want to kill Whitey, everybody pink, to crying on Florida television, begging for forgiveness.
And I want to know, are you going to kill her? Is she going to kill her grandfather?
Yeah, exactly.
When you start killing white people, you going to kill Shelly's granddaddy?
That's all I want to know. But the bottom line is that I'm not hearing any of this rhetoric turning into real.
Now, nothing is coming to fruition.
Yeah, nothing real. I mean, come on. You can't be talking about how you won't kill crackers, kill Whitey, and how we got your foot on your mother effing next to the GOP, and then we got this on tape.
In my words.
You dumbass.
Words that I had to say out of anger. will make the American people address this issue. Let it be my time, Melanie. Let it be my time to address this issue with America, that we say enough is enough.
Stop it. How am I supposed to feel any empathy for you, you crying ass? Seriously. When you're in your own company, I can understand. You're in your own company. You're with your people. You sit up there and talk that rah, 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 rah. And then when the white woman comes to your house with a cameraman, the first thing you're doing is you crying.
And my words that I had to say out of anger will make the American people address this issue. Let it be my time, Melanie. Let it be my time to address.
Mammy.
How goddamn pathetic.
You know what I'm saying? Mammy.
That's pathetic. These guys sit behind their keyboards selling wolf tickets all day long.
Internet thugs.
And who the hell are you? Are you a gigabyte terrorist now?
You know what? They should be taken down to the police department. They should be fingerprinted. They should get their pictures taken.
Well, we know Shirley's pictures are taken. They got her fingerprints because she's a criminal.
Hold on. They should take pictures of all of their tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're a gang. That's what they are. They're like MS-13, the black version of MS. Well, no, you know what? I won't even say that, because MS-13 at least goes out there and does what they say they're gonna do.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
No,
they do.
You know,
they don't
just
hide behind email addresses.
Exactly. they don't hide behind anything.
And that's the weird part, because here it is, they're talking all that mess. But when I've asked them repeatedly to come on this show and talk about what it is they want to talk, and they've got nothing to say. They don't want anybody to hear what they have to say except for themselves.
Did you try to get them on?
Of course I did.
And they said no.
They didn't even respond. They're never going to respond because they don't want to be challenged. They like being around their own kind, their own people, their like-minded people, and talk that rhetoric and feel good about themselves and pat themselves on the back. And then they go out there and they go out to the rest of the world and they're in the supermarket buying your play.
Perrier.
Out there buying your play and Perrier and pretending that they're part of regular society. I mean,
looking
not
for
the
smoked salmon.
I mean, the S1Ws weren't this radical. Okay? S1Ws did what they were supposed to do. Get in the back and dance. Do your little soldier walk, your little cadence, throw up your little signs, do your little marching thing, and Chuck D rap while Flavor Flav had a clock on his neck and danced around like a knucklehead. Knock it off. This is the worst freaking group. I mean, come on. At least those radical-ass skinheads often get into a couple of melees. All right? A couple of them will walk around with swastikas on their arms and go out there and protest and make some noise. You're not even a fringe group. You're an undercover terrorist. You're a closet terrorist at that.
A bunch of business that sit in an air-conditioned office with those black turtlenecks and those foofy, prissy-ass little hats and threaten people.
Do not give these guys more credit than they deserve. They do not have air conditioning. These people have wall fans. These people have window fans. They do not have air conditioning.
I just got a tweet from Mike in Florida, and he says they're black Klan, just as ineffective.
Yeah, exactly. Probably less effective than they are. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. And you're a joke. Sorry. You just joke.
Don't say sorry.
You just
what
no,
you saying sorry?
I don't know why I'm saying sorry. I guess you're
They're
right.
They're sorry.
They are sorry.
And old Shelly will be sorry soon too when her ass is back in the news crying. If my words
that I had to say out of anger will make the American people address this issue. Let it be my time, Melanie. Let it be my time to address this issue with America, that we say enough is enough. We can't have any more killings.
The chief of staff of
And that's the worst part, is that this broad said we can't have any more killing. But yet she's got this guy. They got this
guy.
No,
she's the one saying that that whiteys are going to get it.
Yeah, exactly. That's
she says it herself.
There be no more killing. And then you're, after all of that, you're on the Black Power Radio with Sean Qualley talking about putting your foot on the necks of mother effing GOP. The other guys talking about what we need to do is kill white and kill white and kill white and kill the babies. Knock it off. How are you supposed to be taken seriously? I mean, you guys are like a tornado. You're like a tornado. You're spinning out of control. Nobody knows where you're going to hit next. You're pathetic.
But everybody knows whatever you're going to hit, you're only going to hit with your mouths because you're two bitch asses.
I got to be honest with you. I think it's real bitch. I'm sorry, folks. I mean, get out there. Get out there and make it happen.
If you're going to do it, do it.
Yeah, if you can talk about it, be about it. Go out there and make it happen. It's going to be in Tampa, Florida. Go out there and put your feet on the necks of the GOP. Go out there and bust a hot one.
And I want to know, do these people have jobs? Like, why is this dude getting fired from the Chick-fil-A guy getting fired?
Yeah, for just...
He got fired just for, like, being rude to the girl. He really didn't even make any, like, I'm going to kill people that don't want to, you know, that don't agree with... I'm going to kill Christians that don't agree with homosexuals. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. They fired that man. I hope if any of these morons have a job that they all got fired
too. Oh, you know what? I don't think so. I think that they're under the cloak of darkness. Even if they got a job, I'm pretty sure that somebody in there puts on a disguise and goes to work at UPS. Maybe FedEx.
Nigga, please, you work for UPS. You got the vapors.
Let's take a break. We'll be back. Stick around. More news. More fallout from Joe Biden when we return. It's Reese on the Radio.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message. 4 years ago, we made history. Now it's time to move forward and finish what we started together. We have to show the president we have his back.
We can't afford to spend the next 4 years going backwards. I'm running to make sure that by the end of the decade, more of our citizens hold a college degree than any other nation on earth. I refuse to pay for another millionaire's tax cut by kicking children off of Head Start programs, or asking students to pay more for college, or eliminating health insurance for millions of poor and elderly and disabled Americans on Medicaid.
Have the president's back and register to vote. Go to gottavote.org to register now. That's gottavote.org.
You know we've got your back.
Paid for by Obama for America.
Last time on Reese on the Radio.
Have you missed Reese on the Radio recently? Well, don't worry. You can always go to the archives of Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. Anybody heard from LaToya on this one? Isn't she eerily absent?
And she's the big mouth of the family.
She is the big mouth. She's dropping loose change on the family. She's not into dimes. She likes quarters, half dollars. But that I find extremely odd that she's not around. She's got to get her act together. Get in here. I mean, I can't believe I'm actually saying this. LaToya, please come out and get this family in order. You're the only one left to do it. In all of this mayhem, you're the only person that seems normal here. And you're an extreme whack job. You're an extreme whack job. But through all of this, you're the only normal person throughout this whole thing, with the exception of the kids. Maybe not Blanket so much. but all of them, you look like the normal one.
It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
If I don't recognize your name, you're Rod Nobody. Look, I don't make this much beef about my broad getting into the house to cook me a meatloaf. But they're really excited about this guy going from one souffle to a big zucchini. I don't know what it is, but she can't stop yammering about this.
Was it Michael Simon?
That's him. That's the guy. That's the guy, Michael Simon. Never forget it. Okay, I'll always forget his name because he's a nobody. But anyway, Michael Simon, the bald-headed guy, right? That's him.
Right, right.
Okay, so yeah, he wears a lot of plaid.
Yeah, that's
so he's awesome. Dressed like the chef. Whatever.
He's an Iron Chef.
Yeah. Is he an Iron Chef?
Yeah, he is.
Is that significant?
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Is it a big deal in the foodie world?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Yeah, it is. It's pretty big.
Seriously?
Yeah, it is.
They can lick my balsamic vinegar. It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
We will not take a dime from Washington lobbyists or special interest types. They will not fund my party. They will not run our White House. We're going to change how Washington works.
This headline in today's New York Times sure seems at odds with that promise to put Washington on the side of the little guy, not the lobbyists.
A rather long list of names of people who are working on Obama's transition team or who have accepted jobs in his White House.
I'm in this race to tell the lobbyists in Washington that their days of setting the agenda are over. They will not work in my White House.
The administration has hired several lobbyists, the president of a lobbying firm that worked for General Motors and Fannie Mae.
Sally Sussman leads Pfizer's powerful lobbying shop. She's organized events for the president, and she's also donated money for the president and bundled for him.
Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner appointed former top lobbyist for Goldman Sachs as his chief of staff, appointing to the number two position at the Defense Department a former top lobbyist.
Hundreds of meetings between Obama administration officials and lobbyists, and no official record of who.
The number of fundraisers for the president have also benefited hugely from the energy loan program.
Isn't the president opening himself up to just a charge of hypocrisy on this?
Just a litany of people who have raised so much money who are clearly lobbyists.
President Obama hasn't even made a token effort to keep his campaign promises of more openness and transparency. It was all just another lie that was told in order to get elected.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama is attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
And we are back 29 minutes after the hour, about to reach the bottom of the hour, of course, right here on blogtalkradio.com, August 15, 2012. So, the Rainbow Jihad is clearly showing that they are a terrorist group. They have confirmed it today. I'm not sure how many local news reports have. I know that D.C. reported it today. I know Fox News reported it today. In fact, there were brief stories on ABC and NBC. I don't really watch CBS, but there were brief stories about it. But the Rainbow Jihad has struck again. A security guard ended up being shot as a result. Story is, a man suspected of shooting and wounding a security guard in the lobby of the Christian lobbying group known as the Family Research Center is now reported to be a community center volunteer and a volunteer for the gay, lesbian, and bisexual transgender people. Law enforcement official has identified the Rainbow Jihadist as Floyd Corkins of Herndon, Virginia. By the way, let me get his name right. It's Floyd Corkins II of Herndon, Virginia. Another official says the shooter made a negative reference about the work of the Family Research Council before opening fire. The official spoke anonymously because they were not authorized to discuss the ongoing investigation. David Mariner is executive director of the D.C. Center for the LGBT community. He says that Corkins had been volunteering at the center for the past 6 months. Mariner describes Corkins as kind, gentle, and unassuming. While police have not yet stated what motivated Corkins, come on! He's a Rainbow Jihadist. He showed up at the Family Research Center. Or, I'm sorry, I screwed up the name of the damn company again. What's it called again? Why am I keep forgetting the darn name? The name of the company, Research Council. Pardon me, the Family Research Council. He showed up there. He works with homosexuals in the LGBT community. He's worked there for 6 months. He shows up at the Family Research Council, what is known for their family values and their pro-heterosexual stance. I guess that's the best way to put it. They are pro-family. They are pro-life. They are not anti-gay. They are pro-family and pro-life. But this guy Corkins walks in and he starts firing a weapon. And he works with the gay community. So therefore, he is a jihadist. He worked for the D.C. Center.
No, that's where David Mariner is the executive.
Yeah, he's the executive. Director. He says that Corkins had been volunteering at their center for the past 6 months.
So he worked in D.C. at the D.C. Center for the LGBT, which I believe sits on 16th and K Street. And I want to say it's right upstairs from eye doctor's office that I used to work at.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, the guard who was an employee for the Family Research Council was taken to the hospital. He's in stable condition. It's not life-threatening. But he was the one who not only took a bullet, but took this Rainbow Jihadist down. At the same time, he had a bullet wound in his arm. Now, how can anybody say that they are not a terrorist group? They are already calling this by the FBI domestic terrorism. So it's confirmed.
Well, but GLAAD is saying.
I don't care what GLAAD is saying.
Okay, can you allow me to finish?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Thank you. GLAAD is saying that, you know, they don't want any part of this.
They're condemning the shooting.
This is not something that they, you know, set this guy out to do. They had nothing to do with it. So we hear you, Chunky Monkey. We know you was out there trying to, you know, fight our fight for us. But you on your own now.
Yeah, of course. Of course. But anyway, fact of the matter is that the jihadists have struck again. They went so far as to scroll graffiti on Chick-fil-A, try to stage a kiss-in that failed. They know that they're losing, so now they're going to extreme measures. And now they're getting to the point where people have got to die. To advance their cause. That's all I can say is that now people have to die to affect their cause. That's what all of this is about. His name is Floyd Corkins II. I find it ironic that his name is Corkins. Cork in. That's all I got to say.
That's what's going to happen to your ass when you get to jail.
Nonetheless, bottom line is, his name is Floyd Corkins. That's all I'm saying. Come up with your own joke. Leave it at that. But the jihadists are out there. Okay, I got to play this one. Folks, you can't look. I don't want you to look. I just want you to hear Mary. Because Mary's here at the microphone. So I know she's going to hear this. Okay, now, I want you to all be prepared. So I got to get into some politics here on Reese on the Radio. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you heard blacks for Obama. You heard Latinos for Obama. You heard LGBTs for Obama. But folks, you ain't heard this.
Is this women for Obama?
Oh, no. You ain't heard this, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, come on.
I still can't look?
No, you can't look yet. Damn you can't it. Look. I got to make sure that I can set this up. Oh, come on. I had it perfect. I had it all set up. This is what happens when, you know, I got to produce at the same time. My own audio. Because I'm the one I set up my own show, folks. That's what it is. Okay? I won't let anybody handle it. I won't let anybody do the work. Because I do all the work. Okay? I'm just not comfortable with anybody else being in charge of what it is that I do. Just can't. I'm too hands-on. That's my problem. It's my biggest problem. I need to let go of the reins a little bit, but I can't. It's hard for me to let it go. So like I said, first we had blacks for Obama, or African Americans as they were called in the ad. Then we had Latinos for Obama. Then we had LGBT for Obama. You had all of those ads. Well, they stepped it up a notch. And with keeping it ridiculous, the Obama campaign has gone one step further, folks. One step further in keeping it stupid. They really kept it dumb with this one. And I'm stalling because I'm waiting for the audio to get ready. Here it is. The new campaign for Obama, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the new ad. Okay, here we go. It's coming now. Don't move. Stay where you are. I promise you it's happening. Here we go.
DJs for Obama is a group of DJs coming together to raise the support needed to re-elect Barack Obama. DJs are about motivation, inspiration, celebration. That's why I think it makes such perfect sense to not only celebrate this man, but to motivate people to re-elect him. To everyone out there thinking the election doesn't affect you, it affects you. So number one, have an opinion. Learn the issues, watch the news, follow your leaders on Twitter, on Facebook. Number two, go with Barack Obama. I tell young people and old people and everyone in between to use their talent to help in any way possible. If you're a painter, paint the campaign poster. If you're a sewer, sew a campaign t-shirt. Use what you have to contribute. 4 years is great, but eight is what we need.
I'm sorry, who was that?
A nobody.
Oh, it was a nobody.
It was a nobody. He might be big in the DJ world, but the campaign is now called DJs for Obama.
Who is he, though?
I don't know who this
why
guy
didn't
is.
They have, why didn't they have, what's her name? What's her name's ex-girlfriend?
Oh, Samantha Ronson?
Yeah, Samantha Ronson. Why didn't they have her, who made this video?
Apparently, look, it's the Obama campaign. They put this together. It's
no,
a
one-minute
video. Yes, they did.
No, wait a minute. Tell me. Stop.
This is officially an Obama. Listen to me. It's an official Obama campaign.
So the Obama, the campaign that worked for Obama, not like the other one.
No. This is not Priorities USA. This is the Obama campaign. Let's do it again. This is everything. This is their. It looks the Obama. Are you ready?
DJs for Obama is a group of DJs coming together to raise the support needed to re-elect Barack Obama. DJs are about motivation, inspiration, celebration. That's why I think it makes such perfect sense to not only celebrate this man, but to motivate people to re-elect him. To everyone out there thinking the election doesn't affect you, it affects you. So number one, have an opinion. Learn the issues, watch the news, follow your leaders on Twitter, on Facebook. Number two, go with Barack Obama. I tell young people and old people and everyone in between to use their talent to help in any way possible. If you're a painter, paint the campaign poster. If you're a sewer, sew a campaign t-shirt. Use what you have to contribute. 4 years is great, but eight is what we need.
Now, there's nobody in here that I know of other than Adam, DJ Adam 12, who I've heard of. But
DJ Irie was there.
DJ Irie, I think I've heard of him before. But to go way back, kick it old school, D-Nice.
D-Nice was on there?
D-Nice is one of the DJs for Obama. For those of you who don't know who D-Nice is, he is the former DJ from Boogie Down Productions, KRS-One and Boogie Down Productions. Yes. DJ D-Nice is also a member of this whole group. But, I mean, DJs for Obama?
But what better thing to do? What better avenue do you have?
I don't know.
To voters. Media, DJ, I mean, radio, that's what they're doing. It was a smart move on if it works, it was a smart move. But listen.
Who in the nightclub... who wants to hear the DJ say, "All right, y'all, before I spin this next little Weezy record, make sure y'all vote for Obama. Nigga, 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 bitch, ho. Nigga, bitch, ho. Come on, knock it off. Come on, knock it off.
My chick good, yo chick bad.
Come on.
My chick got shit, your chick wish she had.
Boom, boom, Obama. Knock it off. This is the worst. Sal's in Boston. How can I help you today, sir?
Hello?
Yeah, hey, how are you?
Hey, it's not Sal, man. It's Mike.
Hey, I'm sorry. Hey, Mike, I apologize. Hey, Mike, how are you?
So I see Obama couldn't get anybody really relevant, like Deadmau5 or Skrillex.
No.
Wow.
You're absolutely right. Like, any one of the DJs who you've heard of recently, who's that guy who's got the song? He's from... Is he from Europe? I know he's from Europe.
Oh, there, David Guetta.
Yeah, David Guetta. That's it. You're exactly right. That's the guy.
I'd
thinking.
Say he tried to get DJ AM, but he's dead.
Yeah, he is. He died shortly after the plane crash, right?
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, but if you can't even get Deadmau5 to show up for you, come on, man.
Yeah, exactly. He's everywhere. Poor guy's on the cover of Rolling Stone.
And he's not bad, man. I'll tell you, I'm not a big EDM fan, but, you know, Deadmau5 is way better than Skrillex.
Yeah, nothing. Maybe to use a very horrible phrase, maybe the campaign shot its load with African Americans and Latinos for Barack Obama, and now they're just trying to grasp on anything. I mean, what are we going to do next? I mean, are we going to do pawn shops for Obama? Are we going to do, yard sales for Obama?
Hey, you ought to do DC food trucks for Obama.
What is next? We're going to try to incorporate everything for Obama. This is pathetic.
Did you hear what he pulled at the Iowa State Fair?
No, I didn't hear this one.
There was a Budweiser tent, and I guess the turnout for Obama was so low that they couldn't even fill up the whole tent, but they had to block it off because he's president.
Right.
He cost the beer tent vendor something like $25,000 in lost revenue, and Obama says, "I'm going to buy some beer for some people." He pulls out his money and says, "I'll buy beer for everybody here except the guy in the Romney T-shirt."
Really?
Just the epitome of class.
Everybody,
wow.
Yeah, I heard about the Romney T-shirt thing that he wouldn't buy anything for the Obama T-shirt. I mean, for the Romney T-shirt. What I find eerily, I guess, profound about that whole thing is that Obama it's pretty much, I mean, I guess it's all come to fruition. Obama has just flat out said, if you're not supporting me, I'm not even going to bother to reach out to you. He's got no intention of reaching out to anybody else.
They said his support among white males without a college education is something like 20%, some ridiculously low number.
Right.
You know, and he's losing support among young people, but I guess so. Young people have massive student loans and no goddamn jobs.
Yeah, but again,
Hey, I have a job, and I have massive student loans that these jokers won't get off my back about, and I owe them jokers money. But you know
and
what? That shit is
you can't
car
get out of, you can't
that
get out of it either.
No, you can't, and that shit is a car payment. The monthly payment on my student loans, which is about $25,000, is a car payment.
Oh, yeah, easily. I saw a story on I saw a movie about credit. It was a documentary about how bad credit is, and they showed some dentist who was working in, like, Missouri somewhere, and her payments were so much a month that she fell behind. Right? She fell behind because they estimate your payment as to what your income is going to be so many years after graduation.
Right.
And this dentist payments were so high she couldn't make them because she was working in the sticks somewhere. So because she missed payments, they took away her ability to practice on patients who were paying with Medicaid.
Oh, wow.
So then she couldn't see patients because the federal government said she wasn't allowed to because she defaulted on her student loan.
Well, in essence, what they're saying is that they don't believe that she should be allowed to pay her student loans with the money she's getting from the government. I guess that would make an argument, though.
No, it was that because she violated her contract in paying back her loan, she was not granted the privilege to accept any kind of federal payment from her
payment. Yeah, but that's exactly what Reese is saying, Mike. It's like they said, you know what, instead of trying to, you know, we understand you're only making this much because you live in a small, you work in a small town. We understand that, so let's work with you and try to see how much you can pay.
Right.
Instead, who did it hurt? Who did it ultimately hurt?
It hurt them in the end because they didn't get their money back.
No, it hurt.
And they weren't
It hurt the patient.
Clearly
it hurt the dentist. It took the dentist away from that small community.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it hurts the patients, it hurts the dentists, it hurts the government, it hurts Medicaid or Medicare, and they can't take Medicare either, because if you can't take Medicaid, you can't take Medicare.
Yeah, that's in and of itself sucks.
And a lot of insurance companies, actually require you that if you want to get credit, so wait a minute, it could have been more than that, because a lot of insurance companies now require that if they're going to credential you, you have to be credentialed to take Medicaid as well. It comes as a package. Like VSP is a vision plan. If you get credentialed to take VSP, you have to take Medicare.
So I guess the thing was that you showed she had like $300,000 in student loans, and her student loan payments were so high she was living in a trailer. Living in a trailer.
Oh, that's just awful.
So why even go to school? Why do
that?
You know, so she wasted her education and she can't make a living.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you were to hear that horror story right before you were about to go to college, I think everyone would decide not to.
Well, hey, look, if you're going to go to college anymore, the only thing that's worth going to school for is something in the medical field. That's about it. Go be a doctor.
Yep.
And now with Obamacare, don't even do that.
Yeah, that's a wrap.
You know, I know pharmacists who make like $15 an hour.
Huh.
Pharmacists, because they pushed people to go to pharmacy school because all these colleges had invested in pharmacy schools, and your pharmacy was going to be the next big thing. And there's a glut of pharmacists.
Hmm.
Yeah,
pharmacists don't make a whole lot more than pharmacy techs.
They don't. Well, you said pharmacists don't make as much as pharmacy techs.
They
yeah,
make
like,
a little bit more than pharmacy techs.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
At Walmart, they have a program. If you're a pharmacy tech, then you can, they'll pay for you to become a pharmacist.
Wow.
Yeah, because that's what we need is more pharmacists.
Which in and of itself sounds crazy. Hey, one more topic I have to bring up before we go to the top of the hour. It's a segment I'm going to be calling simply this.
This could very well be the stupidest person on the face of the earth.
The stupidest person award for today goes to Mr. Spike Lee.
Really?
Who appeared on Piers Morgan when, in fact, it was the, wow, it had to have been the night, but yeah, it had to be the 13th of August. This is him talking about President Obama. Now, look, here is the reason why I'm calling him, as I stated.
This could very well be the stupidest person on the face of the earth.
The guy flat out says that Obama's policies aren't working. Clearly aren't working. But listen to what he says after the fact.
The bottom line is economics. People need jobs. People need to stop losing their homes. Their life savings, and that healthcare thing, maybe, you know, you can't go back, but I'm 100% in support of him, and I'm going to do what I can to see that he gets a second term, and I think that historically, second terms, you get to do what you want, because 4 years, you're out.
Did I miss something? The man just sat up and said, everything about Obama has completely failed. And he said the whole healthcare thing. And then he turns around and says, but I'm going to support him.
But no. But did you hear the last part of what he
said, when he
chuckled?
Yeah, no.
That was the part that stood out to me the most.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what the hell? I'm going to get him in again because, you know, he knows this is his last term. He only got 4 more years. He can do whatever the hell he want to do.
Does he not realize
person on the face of the earth?
Go ahead.
Like,
does he not realize that there's going to be a massive changeover in the Senate? I'll bet you anything that Bill Nelson here in Florida, the Democrat, loses his seat in November.
Oh, absolutely.
He's running against Connie Mack. You know the name Connie Mack?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, well, Connie Mack's dad retired, or this is like Connie Mack III or something. He's running for the Senate. That's a big Florida name. Everybody loves Connie Mack.
Nelson's
going to lose his seat, and I think what Tommy Thompson, the 70-year-old former governor of Wisconsin, won his primary, and Wisconsin, since they did the whole thing with their governor, who was it, Walker?
Oh, yeah, Scott Walker.
When Scott Walker won his recall by a massive landslide, I think Wisconsin's going to vote the Republican in.
I pray to God that you are absolutely right about that, because I'm really, really crossing my fingers on that one.
Is that where Ryan is from?
Yeah. I will go an extra step, though.
You're going to vote.
Yeah,
Republican.
I know. I'm going to go an extra step where I'm really, really concerned. This one is north of us, but Linda McMahon...
Oh, yeah.
She's got a second shot at it now that she's won the primary. And this is the former CEO of WWE, which I'm sure JC is excited about. But she's running again. She'll be going up against, what's his name, Dick Blumenthal? The faux Vietnam veteran who got caught lying about going to Vietnam. And they still elected him, beat her last time. She's in the race again. But I'm really, really hopeful that now that is leaving, Joe Lieberman, that she has a chance to possibly... Now, is she going against Dick Blumenthal again?
I don't know, actually.
I don't think she's going up against Blumenthal again. I think she's running for Lieberman's seat. But she
right.
just won.
She's running for Lieberman's seat, but I don't think she's going against Lieberman. I think it's Murphy she's up against.
Oh, yes, you're absolutely right. She is going to be up. Well, no, Murphy isn't the guy that she just whipped out, she just beat?
I'm not sure, but I'll find out for sure.
Hold on, because I'm almost positive. Hold on, because I got a picture on Drudge Report. Well, at least it was here. Now it's gone.
Well, you know, they update every 5 seconds.
Yeah, I got no beef with Linda McMahon. I mean, that's a that's a success story. I mean, a success story kind of based on, you know, really sleazy industry. But
yeah.
Still a success story.
Don't you dare.
Hey, I don't mind that. I don't mind how she made her.
You're the only damn wrestling fan here.
I don't mind how she made her money. I do not mind how she made her money. It may not have been probably the most ethical way to do it, but she didn't harm anybody. She made money. People liked it.
Oh, no, no. They harmed a lot of people now. A lot of people were harmed by the wrestling business.
People were harmed by their own accord. You can't blame Chris Benoit on Linda McMahon.
No, but you can kind of blame the 150 dead wrestlers on the wrestling business in general and Vince's ridiculous schedule.
But no, but hold on. But you can't find one of them that was under contract at the time of his death other than Eddie Guerrero.
So he just uses them up and then kicks them out.
But wait a minute. Speaking of Guerrero, didn't he die by his own hands?
No, Guerrero died of a heart attack.
Say again?
Steroid-induced heart attack.
And you're saying that, can you suggest that the WWE had any part in Eddie Guerrero's usage of growth enhancement?
Don't you remember when Hulk Hogan testified and Vince came out and said, yes, I use steroids and my wrestlers use steroids?
Yeah.
And that was Donahue was on at that time. But, I mean, not since if Eddie Guerrero used steroids and abused them that much to where it damaged his heart, that was done in WCW. WWE has a very, very vicious, wellness policy.
How about Test?
Test wasn't under the WWE contract at the time when he died.
Okay, let's split hairs.
Well, no, but he wasn't under the contract.
Well,
okay,
he was under contract.
But Mike, saying that, look, I'm not a wrestling fan. I used to be, and so my mother told me it was fake. and then I stopped watching it. So, you know, that was Hulk Hogan days and Andre the Giant and la, la, la. So telling my age. But you can't blame those people for anything that those individuals did. That would be like blaming the NFL for the
concussions.
The concussions.
They're doing that now.
And the suicides and all of that, but we don't
know. No, you can blame the NFL for that. You can blame the NFL for that because I don't think those guys are more so for the teams. They're not independent contractors as much like wrestlers are.
You can look at the WWE wrestlers and you can see who gets screen time and who doesn't. And they're all on juice now. I don't care what they say.
But you know what, Mike? You got to understand, too. If they're getting screen time, it's because they're selling merchandise. That's what that's all about. Who's ever got the hottest merchandise going is who gets the more screen time.
Well, you get screen time if you're big.
You need to come up with your own catchphrases to sell those.
But we're not going to attribute what it is that happened with the WWE and its wrestlers to Linda McMahon, which was pretty much the point, because I would make the argument, if that were the case, Rick Blumenthal should have used that in the beginning, because the only argument anybody made, and I watched Linda McMahon when she was on This Week with Christian Amanpour, the anti-Semite reporter for ABC, she asked Linda McMahon whether or not the exploitation of women was something that she was proud of in the WWE. That was the only time the WWE was ever brought up during her campaign. They suggested that she was glorifying sex and the abuse of women on the WWE.
Well, yeah, I can see that.
What?
Pretty much did.
I just refuse to agree today. Look, the people buy it. You only give the people.
Yeah, dude.
Yes,
of
it's
course,
soft core porn. I'll admit.
People buy porn too.
The premise has always remained the same, and that is, good guy versus bad guy. Bad guy beats on good guy for a while. Good guy wins at the pay per view.
That's right. It's
somewhere along the line they brought in wet T-shirt contests and Jerry the King Lawler.
It sells. I look at the demographics. Men ages 13 to 84. Ages 18 to 34.
I don't care, but, you know, she does come from a sleazy industry.
Yes, I'll admit. You're absolutely right.
Not sleazy.
We'll take a break when we get back. Joe Biden, his comments of as of later actually sparking some debate, and we've got some more Obama lies from this past weekend. Rob, we'll be right back. Three on the radio.
Barack Obama, well, he's just not black enough. Why? Because he's light-skinned and articulate? Because he paid back his student loans? Because he's married to his baby, his mama? No, his character's not black, but his lips is blacker than a motherfucker. Okay? Them some cool filter king lips if I ever seen cool filter king lips. And that's black enough for me.
That clip. 1 minute after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's Risa on the radio on this August the 15th, 2012. Now, the guys are sitting in the bubble, and I'm going to actually pull them out because I know that this JC who wants to talk about wrestling some more, now that he knows somebody who knows something about wrestling other than me, he's got a pal now in Mike in Florida, where you can sit around and talk about wrestling. Now he's got a friend that he can sit up there and talk about wrestling all over the place. That's his big thing. Anyway, if you're just joining us, we talked about the Rainbow Jihad shooting in Washington, D.C. at the. At the Family Research Council. We also talked about Spike Lee. Spike Lee has got our new coveted title. On a new segment that we will do, it's called...
This could very well be the stupidest person on the face of the earth.
And Spike Lee gets that coveted role today, the stupidest man on the face of the earth, right here on Recent Radio. Also, moving on, there's going to be a story that I'm going to do later. Folks, it's gone there. It has really gone there. It is now being reported by CBS News that there is now a truck that will go around New York City and help you find out who's your daddy.
Stop it!
The Who's Your Daddy truck will roll through New York City and offer answers with a DNA test. If you've got $300 to $600, you can find out if indeed that baby is yours. It's Maury Povich on wheels. We'll get to it later.
Can you finance that?
Wait. We'll get to that later.
Do y'all take EBT?
Of course they do. Anyway, let's get into something else because I need to get into this. Okay? So the Obama campaign is caught in a lie.
OMG.
The Obama campaign has been caught in a lie. Again. And this is about the whole argument involving Medicare. Now, Jake Tapper of ABC News talking to Barack Obama about Obamacare, or the Affordable Care Act, which is properly known as, and asked him about what they were going to be doing with the money, or what money they were going to be using to fund the Affordable Care Act. During that exchange, Barack Obama, well, through Jake Tapper for that matter, asking him a question, and went a little like this.
One of the concerns about health care and how you pay for it, one-third of the funding comes from cuts to Medicare.
Right.
A lot of times, as you know, what happens in Congress is somebody will do something bold, mm-hmm. and then Congress, close to election season, will undo it.
Right.
You saw that with the doc fix.
Right.
Are you willing to pledge that whatever cuts in Medicare are being made to fund health insurance, one-third of it, that you will veto anything that tries to undo that?
Yes.
Okay. So this is Barack Obama saying that he is going to take a third of Medicare to pay for Obamacare. If anybody tries to veto, if anybody tries to change that, he's going to veto it. So therefore, he is pledging. He is going to get rid of that money. He is going to fund that money. At the time, it was only $500 billion. But that money has since spiked. Yes, it has. The money has since spiked. And it spiked to an astronomical level. It's somewhere around $716 billion.
It spiked $216 billion?
Oh, yeah.
And
so,
when was it for, and how long?
For 10 years or something like that. But here's what David Axelrod said this week when asked about it on CBS News. Obama said 8 years ago that he was going to take the money from Medicare to fund Obamacare. Here's David Axelrod being asked about it.
Mr. Axelrod, you've said that the Ryan budget would end Medicare as we know it. But at the same time, the president has cut $700 billion from Medicare to fund his own health care plan. How is this any different?
You know, Anthony, you're repeating what is a misstatement by the Republicans. I would call it a lie. You know, the story of Little Red Riding Hood and Grandma's looking at the wolf and she says, what big eyes you have. Grandma should say, what big lies you have in this case.
What big lies you have in this case? Well, we're all familiar with Stephanie Cutter, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
The deputy campaign manager of the Obama administration. Well, this is Stephanie Cutter just 2 days before that comment you just heard from David Axelrod, the head of the campaign. This is what Stephanie Cutter said on Face the Nation. No, sorry. Was it on Face the Nation Sunday.
You know, I heard Mitt Romney deride the $700 billion cut in Medicare that the president achieved through health care reform.
Did you want to hear that again?
Wow.
You know, I heard Mitt Romney deride the $700 billion cut in Medicare that the president achieved through health care reform.
So, if I heard correctly, Axelrod said, that's a lie.
Mr. Axelrod, you've said that the Ryan's budget would end Medicare as we know it. But at the same time, the president has cut $700 billion from Medicare to fund his own health care plan. How is this any different?
You know, Anthony, you're repeating what is a misstatement by the Republicans. I would call it a lie. You know, the story of Little Red Riding Hood and Grandma's looking at the wolf and she says, what big eyes you have. Grandma should say, what big lies you have in this case.
But Stephanie Cutter just said that the president achieved it.
Through
funding Obamacare. Reforming
healthcare. Which reforming healthcare was Obamacare. Obamacare hasn't even come to fruition yet. But all the other stuff, and this is amazing to me, all these regulations are set, and you have X amount of time to get to, you know, to become...
To implement them,
right? So you have until 2014 or whatever, because that's when it's supposed to go into effect.
Sure.
Or 2013, which is it?
2014. 2014.
It's going to go into effect. So now you've got to go through all of this stuff to get ready for something that may never even happen.
Well, exactly.
And will probably at this point not happen. So all of this crap that insurance companies are going through, doctors are going through, hospitals are going through, any kind of doctor.
Listen to me, they are waiting with bated breath for this election because they fear the reckoning. After November 6th.
No, even we have started this. Where I work at, I'm implementing it. I'm out in the field.
Some places didn't get right.
No, listen, I'm out in the field every single day. I travel from Maryland to D.C. to Virginia every single day. Training people on new electronic medical records software that had to be approved, that had to be an approved EMR by the government, by Medicare and Medicaid, and by Obamacare. We're implementing this in over 40 locations. Because in 2014, if we don't have this implemented, we're screwed.
So you have to do all of it now.
Yeah.
Well, if they repeal it after the election, then you won't have to do this anymore.
It will be done by then. We will have this project completed by the end of November.
Well, if the election happens, then they'll repeal that immediately. Well, at least it'd be repealed by January. 347-308-8701. Our good friend Sal is with us. Hello, Sal.
What? This is DJ Sally D. You think, Sal, what's going on, Reese?
Oh, I'm sorry, DJ Sally D.
Speaking ill of that little message we put together, so if you give me like 20 seconds, I'd like to just point out some of the highlights to you. Maybe you might agree after you hear what I have to say.
Okay, good.
All right, you need to follow your leaders on Facebook, Twitter, TMZ, and the local police blotter, and as they are called to testify to the House Oversight Committee. We DJs are positive, involved, engaged in the community, and promote unprotected sex with strangers. You can help, too. If you're a sewer, go sew up your ripped pants, you Occupy Wall Street vagrant. If you're a plumber, go out and sling some chisel. If you're a mechanic, go screw someone. And if you're a locksmith, lock them up in chains. I'm Sally D for Obama. So.
It's brilliant.
Bravo, bravo.
You had the opportunity to really hear what we're saying. I'm sure you feel differently.
Yeah,
the community for Obama. I mean, what's next? It's unbelievable. And this is an official campaign.
If you go to the campaign website, you will see it. They've got, after the video plays, the Obama Biden, insignia pops up. It gives you the two options because it's on YouTube, and you can click the two: donate or participate, whatever the two things that show up.
Join. Vote or donate.
Or donate. One of those things shows up. You can click it. It ends just like the Latino one, the LGBT, and the African American ones. They all end the same.
Awesome.
I couldn't believe what I thought.
You know, follow your leaders, not on the news, not in the local newspapers, but on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a sewer,
it's a sewer, club. Don't forget, go to the club.
No, but you know, I mean, I've never looked at DJs as like, you know, the moral compass. I'm sorry. But, you know, who knows? It might work. I just had to chime in on that. And as far as this.
Maybe they'll set up voter registration booths at the club.
Maybe.
You know what? They'll get them all signed up, but they still won't show up come election day. So
they won't show up till the end of the night when they're all drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. So I just wanted to chime in there. And, you know, the other thing you mentioned, I think, about the kind of crimes that we're seeing, we kind of talked about this a little bit before.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, if you take out the drug crime and the random crime in the cities, if you look at the way these events are transpiring, and with great regularity,
mm-hmm.
we have our crimes being committed because people don't feel that their positions are being listened to or respected. And instead of allowing people to have that discourse or disagreement, people are going out, you know, if you're anti this, anti that, we're going to take you out. I mean, there was the Sikh shooting, okay?
Sure.
Apparently that was a hate crime. The hate crimes are all over the board, but at the end of the day, this is happening with alarming regularity. I don't see it changing. Even if a Romney were to get into office, it's just going to be the opposite side. The other side's going to be angry. You're going to see more coming from that side.
You're probably right that there will probably be liberals that will be losing their minds, being absolutely angry, emotional, and probably have no choice but to respond violently.
And that seems like that's the way things go these days, because people feel that either they don't have the articulation or the point, you know, the background to understand what the real issues are, so they reach out in anger, or they're desperate. But I got to tell you, you know, I got people that I know very well who are, some people would call them like patriots or preppers,
mm-hmm.
and they're quietly angry, you know, and they have to be quiet about it, but they are angry. And I honestly think, regardless of what happens in this election, no matter what side wins, I think things are going in a direction that's pretty frightening.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example of that, Sal, and I'm going to take your state because you're in Massachusetts. I'm going to take your state as a prime example. You know, this race, you know, Elizabeth Warren versus Scott Brown. You know, Massachusetts is the bluest of the blue states, man. It's the bluest of the blue. You know, we're talking like New York behind it, you know, a distant second. But it's the bluest of the blue. And that race is 43-43. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if there's anything that's a clear example, no one's going to make an argument that Obama's not going to win Massachusetts. But I'll tell you, I would be shocked if that number wasn't alarmingly different than what it was in 2008.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm hoping that I have no hope for Massachusetts. I mean, I feel like when I go and vote, it's an absolute waste of time, but I do it. I need to do it. I feel like I have to. It's my responsibility to do it. It is almost like a vote, regularly. Except for the Scott Brown election where I voted and he actually...
Well, that'll matter. Yeah, that vote will matter. But I'll tell you this. The one reason the thing that's hurt in Massachusetts, and I find this all the time, all of my friends in Massachusetts are all conservatives, which is rare. All the people that I know, you, Dennis... Gene, Julie, all of the people that I know in Massachusetts, Paula, Rand, all of the people I know out there, all the ones that are my good friends, they're all conservatives. The guys that I know who are around, like the in Malden at the the Italian Italian Social Club. I apologize, the Italian Social Club on Pearl. The guys I hang out there, all conservative. The thing that baffles me is the reason why I believe that conservatism hasn't grown in Massachusetts. Is because almost every year we're looking at numbers like 10, 20, maybe even 15,000 conservatives just move out of the state once they've been there for 4 or 5 years because they just can't deal with the policies.
Well, it's that, but, you know, you also have the educational system here, which is vast, and you have that strong left-leaning...
But it's the college now.
They generate money, they generate influence. I think like Massachusetts is beyond hope in terms of turning the corner there. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's just, you know, you watch these crimes and you hear these people on TV. I didn't even know what that woman crying was about, and then you gave further context to it. But you just see a lot of this nonsense happening. And I just hope that, at the end of the day, if things change and things turn even just slightly better, and people start getting jobs and, you know, the economy starts, I think that will make the difference. But if that doesn't happen, then I think we're in for a tough ride no matter where you are.
Absolutely. Thanks as always. Kyle, I appreciate it, buddy. Great bit, man. I love it. I'm definitely going to use that one.
Thanks, man. Have a good night.
All right, buddy. Sorry, Mike. I didn't mean to cut you off before.
Not a problem. So, so President Obama has rappers and DJs for him, right?
Yes.
I just found a website that lists celebrities for Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney has Clint Eastwood, Chuck Norris, John Voight, a bunch of athletes, a bunch of country singers, and Kid Rock.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. I look at the spectrum. I look at the guys who are for Obama. First of all the celebrities who are rooting for Obama are the dumbest of the dumb. I don't think that there's one person who's come publicly supporting Obama I would not consider an elite.
Even
okay?
Matt Damon turned on him.
Exactly. An intellectual elite is not in that bunch supporting Barack Obama.
Somebody as liberal as Matt Damon, Harvard student from Massachusetts, you're pretty well screwed.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, what the hell? If you lose Louis Farrakhan, then you're the first black president.
Well, yeah, I did hear Louis Farrakhan say nice things about Ron Paul, which was kind of surprising.
And that, you know, he does. It's amazing. That even Louis Farrakhan does not support Barack Obama. It's alarming to me. But do you see the blatant lies? Like, how does Stephanie Cutter sit up here and promote the fact that he cut $700 billion out of Medicare, and this guy Axelrod gets on national television and says that's a big fat lie.
Yeah, just straight up lie, just a bold faced lie. Because I think, honestly, I told you my theory on liberals. I think liberals believe that they're right, and if you don't think they're right, it's just because you're too stupid to understand what they're doing.
I think you're exactly right there. What I've always thought about liberals were is that the reason why they're liberals is because they're intellectually smarter than everyone in the room. They thumb their nose at anybody who's from anywhere. They consider you backwater. They consider
oh,
you.
Yeah.
Look at what they consider every other place in America. They call it flyover country.
Yeah, you know, flyover country.
What's that guy? Sloped-headed rednecks. You know, these people aren't smart enough to vote. Look at the way that they treated. What was it? North Carolina after the gay vote. What was the woman who was caught saying that we're is she the governor or the senator? I think she's
governor.
She was
the governor. Yeah,
governor.
Is that Nikki Haley?
Not Nikki Haley. I apologize. Not Nikki Haley. It's the other woman. She had to be a senator. She was a mayor of some town or a governor. I got to find the audio of her. But she was the one that said when the North Carolina vote for gay marriage was struck down, when they voted against gay marriage in North Carolina, she made a crack and said, North Carolina seems like Mississippi.
Oh, yeah, and the Mississippi got all pissed off and said, hey,
right.
What the hell are you talking about?
Exactly. But she's not running anymore. She's actually out of office soon. That's why she made the claim. Which, again, you know, again, trying to promote herself like, oh, we're a real liberal town. We know what it is we're doing. We're smarter than you. And in essence, calling Mississippi a hick redneck town who's intolerant. You know,
hey,
we really look like Mississippi.
When's the last time you saw a positive representation of white Southern people in the media?
Never.
Never, right? I mean, the closest we came was the friggin' Dukes of Hazzard.
This is true.
Or that Jeff Foxworthy show that was on NBC. That's just because Foxworthy's richer than Jesus.
Right.
You know? But, yeah, they think everybody who's not from the Northeast or California are a bunch of inbred, you know, mouth-breathing yokels.
That's exactly, yeah, mouth breathers. That's the term.
And what they fail to recognize is that there are plenty of colleges in the South that regularly outperform Harvard.
You know, and I see some of these people who go to Harvard and I talk to them. And you know what? Every time I talk to them, I go, these people cannot be intellectually superior to me. There's just no way.
Of course not.
They're just not. They cannot be. Because if any one of them think liberalism works, they've got to be the dumbest people in the world. They just got to be. They just got to be.
Yeah, it's like insanity is doing the same thing repeatedly and expecting a different result.
Exactly.
I think they're literally insane.
And I believe that they are. Mike, hold on. I want to play this audio real quick. I found this, and God, we have to talk about this because this was a brilliant debate. I'm stunned that I never heard about it. But tell me if you remember anything about this debate that took place between Sean Hannity and Al Sharpton. I don't know where it was, but I'm dying to find out where. I got to see the whole thing. But here's a piece of it.
Hope we leave here tonight realizing how much we have in common, how much we can agree on, how much in terms of our goals, dreams in life are the same.
The reality is that until we can make and we collectively make America an even playing field for everyone, we will always wake up looking at America through different lenses.
For whatever reason, and I don't understand it, frankly, 90% of African Americans in most elections vote Democrat.
All right, let me
finish this point, then you can go. Robert Byrd, a Democrat, former Klansman, was the Senate Majority Leader for the Democrats for 11 years. I didn't hear you demand that he be fired. Robert Byrd, 3 years ago, hang on a second, on national television, used the N-word multiple times. Reverend, I should have heard you say that Democrat needed to be fired. Bill Clinton, how you doing there? Good to see you. Bill Clinton was at this very convention.
Sorry about that. It's a little slow. Come on, audio.
Bill Clinton, if you read his comments, Who does he brag as his mentor in the political life that he leads? J. William Fulbright, a known segregationist. That's the Democratic Party today. What flag flew over the Arkansas State House when Bill Clinton was the governor of the state of Arkansas? I think it's the Confederate flag. I didn't see a lot of opposition. Here's a fact. This president, George W. Bush, has appointed more African Americans to the highest positions of power than any other president, including Bill, she will never be president, in the history of this country. Now, how is it that 3 short weeks ago, Hillary Clinton went to the Miami home of a rap executive by the name, she was here today? She went to the home of a rap executive by the name of Timbaland. He has a song. Well, he raised $800,000 in his Miami mansion for her. He has a song, as repugnant as anything I've ever heard, that uses the N-word 24 times. I would like for you tonight to demand that Hillary return that money, and I would like for you tonight, Reverend, I would like for you tonight to demand that Timbaland, like Don Imus, be fired.
Yes, we agree that this misogyny and hatred and the use of the N-word and whore and bitch is wrong. You challenge me to challenge Senator Clinton about Timberlake. But the problem I would have with that is that it was not Senator Clinton. It was George Bush, your president, that had puffy combs in the White House when he wouldn't meet with the head of the NAACP and any of us, and had puffy combs at the Republican convention. Wait a minute. 2004. Since you have a request of me, I will have one of you. When you ask George Bush to explain to this audience and the nation how he took puffy combs into the White House and stood them up at the Republican convention, then I will raise your question. Until then, well, you don't have the moral authority to question Democrats. Y'all brought the rappers into the White House.
Well, he's factually wrong. Puffy was at the Republican National Convention hawking vote or die T-shirts. He got an invitation. He didn't get into the White House because I saw the interview that Puffy had with Bill O'Reilly when they were there and was at the Republican National Convention. And George W. Bush took no money from P. Diddy, for crying out loud.
Well, yeah, because George W. Bush doesn't care about black people.
Exactly. And it's funny because here's Sean Hannity making a valid point about $800,000 from Timbaland using N-word, and Al Sharpton equates that with Sean P. Diddy Combs showing at the Republican National Convention?
And he's just grasping at straws, man, that's all.
Yeah, as usual. And, you know, what do you expect from Al Sharpton? It's ridiculous.
And,
but
yeah, to skip back to that Kanye thing real quick.
Yeah.
Everybody, I'm from Louisiana, man. I've been to New Orleans a lot. Those fools had plenty of advance notice that hurricane was coming. They could have walked to Baton Rouge in the time they had available.
2 days. Two whole days.
But those fools just sat around and they're like, didn't somebody go, help me? Fools, start walking.
Two days. A bicycle.
You know you're good at it.
2 days, the weather center was telling people that thing was coming straight for Louisiana. It was coming
It's not that far from New Orleans to Baton Rouge, man. You could ride a bicycle there in a day.
And you're absolutely right. You are.
And like I said, I know they know how to steal bicycles.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. This guy used the N-word.
Messages.
he's on the radio, and you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up and spend some time with Reese on the radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we continue. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. Going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh man, you have no idea how much fun we're going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
James, you're on the air?
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you're enjoying.
The adult beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve and it's called 211 for that matter is that the police code 211 means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese. I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. And the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz. There's Dr. Phil. There's Dr. Drew. There's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem. You deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on ReSun Radio on blogtalkradio.com. Weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. Minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's Reese on the Radio this August 15th, 2012. Who's your daddy truck? It's rolling through New York City. The report reads, it's a sign of the times. Getting a quick DNA test is now as easy as walking up to a truck. The Who's Your Daddy recreational vehicle is selling DNA tests, mostly to fathers who suspect their children may not be theirs. They flag us down, they pull us over, they talk to us, says owner and operator Jared Rosenthal. Sometimes, just because of the nature of the services, they want to be a little more discreet about it. But they do come or they'll call the number. In this business, Rosenthal says he deals with all kinds of crazy situations all day, every day.
Oh, they'll have a reality show soon.
We have people that want to get the specimen from their spouse without them knowing about it. We deal with a lot of drama. It's constant drama. There have been instances where men have walked in with a baby to give DNA samples, only to find out later they're not related. When asked by CBS News' Dave Carlin why he was taking the DNA test from the traveling truck, one unidentified man explained, "I'm paying child support anyways. I would do it anyways. You just want to know." There are a lot of difficult situations and tough moments and heartbreak, Rosenthal said, adding that there were happy endings as well. There's a lot of good news that we're able to deliver, and there's a lot of happy moments. For example, a test helped a 44-year-old Harlem man find his long-lost 20-year-old daughter. Rosenthal maintained that his credentials are legitimate and that his business is legal. In fact, he said he believes he's providing an essential service. This is not something people talk about. And of course, the darn page reboots. But it's the baby daddy truck, for crying out loud.
And it's rolling through New York City.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm sure that it is rolling through the hood. That's where I know. I know this is rolling through the hood.
This is what this makes me think.
Okay.
It's rolling through the hood.
It's probably playing hip hop.
Hold up. It's rolling through the hood, and it's getting all these idiots to give up samples of their DNA and their kids' DNA.
There you go.
So now they have your DNA on file, my man. You are.
Yeah.
You're in the system.
You know what? I didn't think about that.
You, your kids, your babies, mamas, everybody, all you fucking hood rat. Oops, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. All you hood rats, we're watching you, and now we got your DNA.
Yeah.
I like Phil Chances.
You're absolutely right.
So who's going to put y'all back in chains now?
You know, this guy really thinks that he's doing a service to the hood.
No, no, I bet you there is a conspiracy theory right here.
That you believe that he's taking that DNA and supplying it with the authorities?
I believe that there is something else funding that. There's some
Might
funding
be.
Going on in the background.
Yeah, here's the story. Let's play the story from CBS News.
Look at them laughing.
DNA test is now as easy as walking up to a truck.
Painted on the sides of an RV is the question, who's your daddy? And plenty of people are going in.
You know,
I'm
going to try this one more time because this audio is always horrible.
Find out.
Now, why can't this ever work?
Not tomorrow.
Why?
Yes, it will.
Okay,
well, this one is a sign of the times. Getting a quick DNA test is now as easy as walking up to a truck.
Painted on the sides of an RV is the question, who's your daddy? And plenty of people are going inside to find out. CBS 2's Dave Carlin reports.
Cameras flashing, everybody takes pictures. People love it.
Jared Rosenthal maneuvers this rolling billboard. His truck offers DNA paternity testing that comes to you. Finding out who's your daddy involves a $350 fee, a cheek swab.
We go up here with soft dirt.
And a lab test, with results back in a couple of days. This customer agreed to talk if we don't show his face.
You have a child, you're not sure if it's yours?
I'm not sure. I'm paying child support anyways, and I will continue doing it. Because
you just want to know.
I just want to know, yeah.
It's not something that people talk about. There's a big need for it.
Rosenthal says his typical customer is a dad with a child in tow. Often an active duty member of the military with a baby born during a deployment. But women also use this service. In a way, Inwood resident Keisha Vera sees as a good thing.
Pain.
Oh, come on.
Come on, that one gets to the best part.
I know, I want to hear this. She got a rag on her head.
I know, I'm thinking to myself, what is she getting ready to say?
Oh, come on.
Hello, baby mama.
Come on. I hate CBS.
She got a hand up in the air, scarf, all hair wrapped up in a scarf.
CBS's website is awful because you can't.
Look like she might indulge in a little bit of the crack cocaine.
Maybe. Okay, I can't even play the rest of it. I'm sorry, guys. I want to play the rest of it. But this is bad. This is just bad. The fact that I press play, it's not playing. It's CBS because it reboots on its own, and that's the reason why it's awful. But yes, baby daddies, you can get it's baby daddy in the road. I know he's playing hip hop when he drives down the street, like all of the ice cream trucks do in the hood. You know, guys, like they play hip hop music while they're driving by trying to sell kids fudgy wudgy bars.
You know they're giving out Kool Aid for refreshment.
Edward in Connecticut is with us as well. Did you see this report, Edward?
No, this is the first time I'm hearing about it, but, you know, I think it's a service that's long overdue.
Well, they're going to put Maury Povich out of business. Come on.
The world is coming to an end, my friend. The Mayans might have been right about that 2012 stuff.
I love the fact that the Spanish guy who wants to get his child tested, he's hiding his face. Now, look.
Oh, Arizona does this, too.
Stop it.
Yes, they do. Right here, Arizona Mobile DNA Services provides on-site Arizona paternity testing and DNA services to residents.
Well, you know, it's a large Latino community.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me. Is that Mobile, Alabama?
Mobile, Alabama, DNA paternity testing, DNA testing in Mobile, paternity DNA testing, immigration DNA testing,
ancestral
DNA testing, and
that's
surrogacy.
I've never seen anything this bizarre in my entire life.
Well, I don't really think they'll make any money in the hood, though.
Yeah. Look, this guy said he spent $300, how much was it, $300 to $500, or $300 to $600? Nobody's spending that money.
These guys are not paying child support anyway.
Yeah, they don't give a damn.
I mean, damn, you think brothers are lining up to take responsibility? Come on, man.
He said, well, Rosenthal is saying half of his job is to be a psychologist to folks. And the DNA test, they say, costs between $299 to $575, which is a
heck. How many crack rocks you got to sell to make that money?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's a lot of rock moving.
That's a... But the point was making...
I wonder if they're going to take that DNA, though, and run it through, like, the New York City Crime Lab.
Those fools already have their DNA on file.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Well, no, I mean, seriously, though, you know, New York City's already about to launch the biggest video surveillance program in history.
Why aren't they doing that? Is that the thing that they're doing through Facebook?
Through Microsoft.
Through Microsoft.
They're in an agreement with Microsoft, and New York City is going to be the first city to launch it, and any city thereafter, New York City will get a percentage, I think it's like 7% of Microsoft sales.
Glad I live in the sticks.
Wow. See, that in and of itself, I find odd, but that Spanish guy who didn't want to be recognized, the part that makes me laugh about him is that this guy has got such a distinct voice that he's hiding himself from the cameras. But I know if his baby mama's watching TV, I know that's Hector. He's gonna be up Ish Creek anyway, whether he likes it or not. He said, "I just want to know. I just want to know." Okay, hold on. I think we got the audio back. I'm gonna see if I can fast forward it to this part because I want to hear that black woman and what it is that she has to say about it. Again, see, I told you this. The CBS's page.
I'm trying to get it right here.
Is the worst because it reboots on its own, and they're on the same. They use the same service I do for ReeseOnTheRadio.com.
Okay,
I never have to go through this. You got the audio?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait.
All right, Mary. Okay, here we go. Truck offers. Yeah, see, it freezes.
No.
DNA paternity testing that comes to you. Finding out who's your daddy involves a $350 fee, a cheek swab.
We go up here where it's softer.
And a lab test. Don't back a couple of days. This customer agreed to talk if we don't show his face. The other child, you're not sure if it's yours?
I'm not sure. I'm pretty child support anyways. And I will continue doing it. Because
you just want to know.
I just want to know, yeah.
But it's not something that people talk about. There's a big need for it.
Rosenthal says his typical customer is a dad with a child in tow, often an active duty member of the military with a baby born during a deployment. But women also use this service. In a way, Inwood resident Keisha Vera sees as a good thing.
The mother's like, you're the father. Daughter's like, no, the heck I'm not. He's like, you don't know? Right there.
As you might imagine, wherever this truck goes, it attracts a lot of attention. The reactions range from people saying, how could he, to others who say, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, more power to him.
It's a good idea.
You support it?
Yeah.
We always have customers, unfortunately.
There's a lot of drama. There's heartbreak. Well, half the job is to be a psychologist to folks.
While Rosenthal sees anger and tears, he also witnesses happiness, helping solve mysteries that reunite families. Dave Carlin, CBS 2 News.
I love it.
It's helpful because, you know, you got this, you know, mother F or whatever, and you say, I'm pregnant, it's your baby. No, that ain't my baby. Yeah, you got the trucks right here.
But my favorite part is, what are you going to do? Stand outside your house and wait for the truck to roll by?
For real. Maybe you can call. Maybe that you can call ahead.
You can call them up like pizza.
Yeah.
Hey, can you come up by? I need 2 DNA tests. How soon can you get here?
I need a
sketch.
And that is.
I'll be here in 30 minutes. Okay, now in the story that is honestly pissing me off.
Well, a schedule listed under when you're going to be in my hood.
A story that is absolutely making me angry, folks. I cannot believe I'm actually going to read this, but let's just read the headline.
Oh, Lord.
Chelsea Clinton won't rule out a political run. Chelsea Clinton isn't ruling out a future in politics, she tells Vogue magazine. The former first daughter, who has long avoided the press, let journalist Jonathan Van Meter follow her around for weeks for a new profile in the magazine's September issue. He says in the piece, people around Chelsea have noticed a change in her too, as she's been exposed to the foundation, to what her father's doing with his post-presidential life, says Hillary Clinton's deputy chief of staff, Huma, you know who she is, Alba Dean, that's Wiener's wife. I think a life is gone. This is the legacy I'm going to inherit. To say it's an incredible one is an understatement. She now knows that in 20, 30 years, everything about her father's legacy is in her hands. It's going to be Chelsea's responsibility to carry that torch. This is the core of what her grandmother encouraged her to do, embrace her inheritance. In many ways, she already has. Even the way she agreed to be interviewed, having a writer embedded for weeks. This is the way she's watched her parents do it for years. Let's face it, she has their pace. If not yet, their global platform. I ask her, could you ever imagine running for public office? Before my mom's campaign, I would have said no. Not because it was something that I had thought a lot about, but something because people have been asking me that my whole life. Even during my father's 1984 gubernatorial campaign, it was, do you want to grow up and be a governor one day? No, I am full. And also because I believe that there are many ways for each of us to play our part. For a very long time, that's what my mom did. And then she went into elected public life. Her life is a testament to the principle that there are many more ways to serve. She pauses. And now I don't know. I mean, I've voted in every election that I've been qualified to vote for since I turned 18. I believe that engaging in the political process is a part of being a good person. And certainly believe that part of helping to build a better world is ensuring that we have political leaders who are committed to that premise. So if there were to be a point where it was something I felt I called to do, I didn't think there was someone who was sufficiently committed to building a healthier, more just, more equitable, more productive world, then that would be a question I'd have to ask and answer. Nobody wants to see this bitch in elected office.
Good God. You know, you don't have to be elected to office to do good things. I mean, as a matter of fact, it's kind of the opposite. You know who does good things? Friggin' Bono does good things.
Yes. Yes, Bono does good things. That's right. International superstar.
Yeah, and he's a multimillionaire. He doesn't have to do that crap. And he goes and trudges around villages in Africa and puts up friggin' water pumps and mosquito nets. Why doesn't she take her ugly horse-faced ass and do that?
Area.
But you know they're going to force her to do it. Here's why. Because they're going to find ways to her to fulfill the one thing that John F. Kennedy Jr. could never do. That's why.
Is she any smarter than JFK Jr.? We don't know if Chelsea's not stupid.
I probably agree that Chelsea's not stupid. She's probably smarter than JFK Jr. I'm willing
to go. It
doesn't
take a whole lot to be smarter than JFK Jr.
I'm going to go there with you. It doesn't take a lot, but I'm pretty sure he's a lot smarter than JFK Jr. But if there's anything in the world that says that they want to build a legacy that the Kennedys couldn't, trust me, the Clintons are those people. I'm telling you.
Is she a liberal?
Of course she is.
I bet that sounded Republican.
No. She's a liberal. But beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Let me tell you what I find funny about Chelsea Clinton, right? Now, Chelsea Clinton comes from one of the most beloved political families in recent history. I mean, I don't love the people, but they're very popular, right? Chelsea Clinton was basically American elite. And when she got married, do you know she had to change her religion?
This is true. That's right.
Because she wasn't good enough if she wasn't Jewish. She had to convert.
Yeah. That is interesting, Mike. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so your father's a two-term president, your mother's a senator and secretary of state, and yet you still have to convert Goyim.
But now, wait a minute. Now, let's talk about the political background, or at least the background of her husband, which I believe that they're pretty, I don't want to call them bluebloods, but you get my point. I mean, they're kind of an elite family, aren't they?
I know they were big on Wall Street, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that his family is pretty powerful. And Chelsea.
Yeah, but they're not president powerful.
Okay, touche. I mean, I totally agree there, but I don't think, if you really, really want to think about it, Chelsea has never really made a mark other than being a first daughter. She's really got nothing, under her belt as a serious accomplishment. You know,
her husband is a hedge fund guy who used to work at Goldman Sachs.
That's right.
So, you know, he's just ate up with the ethics, I'm sure.
Yeah.
nothing shady or sleazy about that.
No, not at all. You know, I don't know why. Well, I guess he's got, first of all, I'm sure he's got strong family roots.
Oh, wait,
and,
I got it here for you, sir. His father is a convicted felon.
No.
Yep. Mezvinsky is the son of former Iowa congressman and convicted felon Edward Mezvinsky.
Wow.
So she married the son of a convicted felon.
Well, in that case, I mean, she's right at home.
Yeah, I mean, he was convicted of fraud for scamming $10 million from people using email fraud.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. He stole $10 million.
Oh, she's right at home. She's right at home.
Classy.
Oh, come on. You know what I always wanted to know, Mike? Because you're really into this. This is a big deal to me. I always wanted to know this, okay? Because I never really delved into it all that much. I mean, I know a little bit about it. I know what the scandal was. But what was the real deal with Whitewater? And why did it not stick? Because everything that I read put this right in their hands.
Yeah, I think it was right in their hands, but, you know, when the media's on your side, nothing gets done.
Yeah, that's true. People used to call CNN. People called CNN the Clinton News Network. Because
yeah, I mean, that guy was the Teflon president, no doubt. Hung out with shady people, that Jim McDougal went to prison and died in prison for them. You know, Clinton was a son of a bitch, man.
That he was. I mean, there's no doubt about it. That's why I say that this, you know, it's not far-fetched to see that Chelsea would end up with the son of a freaking fraudster.
and a pretty major fraudster.
Yeah,
$10 million is not chicken scratch.
And that's funny because, you know, how did no one report that?
Because nobody cares. Because they're special. Which is why the dinosaur media is on its way out, I believe.
Yeah, they are. They're.
I mean, I know we're running out of time, but I got a couple of stories I want to throw at you real quick.
Yeah, sure.
There's another unreported hate crime in Cincinnati this time, in a neighborhood called North College Hill. A 45-year-old unemployed guy who takes care of his elderly mother was walking home from going to get a six-pack of beer, and six teenagers, 13 and 14 years old, attacked and beat the crap out of this guy and put him in the hospital with internal bleeding and all kinds of stuff, right? Would you like to hear the names of these little delinquents?
Please, because, you know it's my favorite part when you give us news stories.
The report neglected to mention their ethnicity, but here you go. Okay, well, we have twin brothers, Tyree and Terrell Mizell. We have Lamont Champion and Daquan Kane. And the mother of the Mizell twins is Latasha Alford.
Latasha Alford. Okay, I'm going to take a guess. These people are from the Czech Republic.
I'm thinking they're from Prague. Fresh off the boat. So, yeah, here's a violent hate crime that's not going to be charged as a hate crime. this guy just got the crap beat out of him and could have died, and nothing's going to happen hate crime-wise.
Didn't the report say that they just beat him up because they were bored?
They were bored. Yeah, they were bored, so they figured they'd jump on the white guy.
I mean, what, you're bored, so the only thing that you decide to do is to get into a fight? It baffles the mind.
The other one I have is from my neck of the woods, actually. One of our deputies had to shoot some guy who aimed a gun at her. So she shot him 3 or 4 times with her 9mm and didn't kill him. So this guy has racked up a $320,000 medical bill the county has to pay because he's broke. So one of our county commission had a meeting with our county attorney to talk about the charge. And,
yeah.
They said, you know, can you get the money from the guy? And the county attorney said, well, you can't get blood from a stone. So one of our commissioners said, we have to get the sheriff's department to upgrade to 45s.
They have to get him to upgrade to 45s? You mean
yep.
So that he doesn't survive?
So he doesn't survive. My county kicks ass.
To solve this problem, we got to get guns that kill, not made.
We need bigger guns.
It makes sense to me. I applaud
me too,
it.
Man.
I applaud it. Classic. As usual, Mike, great ending. Thank you guys, as usual, for calling in. And our good friend Sal in Boston as well. For Edward in Connecticut, Mike in Florida, JC in Connecticut. Mary, Mary, why are you bucking? I'm Reese on the radio. Thank you, and I hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back in here tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. It's Reese on the radio. We'll see you tomorrow.